Amen. I hope that you enjoyed your time of communion, especially together. It's always good to have Nathan Hershberger up here doing a little teaching and prodding our hearts at the same time. Well, I don't know about you, but it's been an incredible weekend. And if you're visiting with us, we'd like to welcome you to the Wichita Church of Christ. We are finishing up our New Year's workshop. And we started off on Friday, and we had a time of prayer and singing. And it was an incredible time. We had talked about earlier in the year, we had done the same thing. We talked about at this time of the year, before we started the workshop, that we would do it again. And we wanted to see how much we had grown. And we had seen much growth in the prayers, much growth in the bravery and courage, much growth in the acknowledgement of God and adoration. And some incredible, open, and honest, and vulnerable prayers like never before in a public setting. It was incredible. Then the next day, Saturday, we got together, and I gave us a charge, and I talked about vision for the church, and I wanted us to grasp hold of the vision that we need to collectively have, as the theme is still devoted, and we're talking about being devoted, continued. Devoted in the same things, devoted in the scriptures, devoted in the fellowship, devoted to the breaking of bread, communion with each other, and prayer. And after I gave the charge, I talked about some different things that we wanted to hone in on. Ken and Lana did something for the marrieds that was incredible. It was incredible, and it rocked a few of our socks as we were challenged to think of our marriage to our spouse as an opportunity to deepen our relationship with God rather than being happy. It was like, uh-oh. And they backed it up with scripture and Lana, and they did some incredible sharing. It was a great, great time. And if you weren't here, I encourage you to get on the website and hear what Ken and Lana had to share. Some incredible times are ahead of us this year. And what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to go back over. I'm somewhat like Nathan. I can say something and forget it. And so I think, you know, like I said, you know, we're going to get together and we're going to go over the same thing that we're going over today. And I'm going to add a few practicals today. But I want us to all in a collective heart, collective soul, collective mind, a collective physical and emotional buy-in to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want us to buy into God's vision. The title of the message this morning is Walking in God's Vision. Amen. Walking in God's Vision. But before we jump into that, I'd like to lead us in a prayer. Please bow your heads and pray with me. Father, thank you so much for being the incredible God that you are. Father, thank you for your creation. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be a part of an incredible family that's led by you. Thank you so much for Jesus that cleanses us of our sins. Thank you so much for Jesus and your spirit as they enter into our lives and as they take more stock in our lives and we're emptied of self, Father, life just gets better. And Father, I'm so grateful to be on that path, that journey with all the people in this room. Father, I pray so much in Jesus' name for those that don't know you. Father, to embrace the opportunity to hear your spirit speaking to them this morning. Father, I want to take this time collectively as a body to lift up Carrie Cannon. Father, I pray that as she's in the hospital, Andrew's aunt, Father, I pray for healing. I pray, God, that she can take the tube out, God. I pray that the complications and the difficulties that she's feeling, Father, I pray that they subside because of your power. God, we want to lift up Shirley Thomas as she goes into the hospital this next week to have some procedure done as far as her heart is concerned. God, there are so many different things going on. God, I want to lift up the Hoyles to you, Father, as they get ready to make their move. I pray, God, thank you so much for providing a home for them. God, I pray so much that their home would sell here. God, I pray that the transition would be a smooth one. God, I pray that you would continue to work and that you would take care of the details in this. The Hoyles see those and the Denver church sees those and we see those. We can acknowledge and be encouraged that you're at work. Father, we pray for today, afterwards, we're going to have a meal and some time to fellowship together. Father, we pray that you'd bless that in a great way. More than anything, Father, we pray that you'd help us to empty ourselves of self and allow you to fill us up. God, I pray that as we're reminded through your scriptures, as we look through your scriptures, Father, our hearts are prodded. Father, that we're challenged, that we're inspired, that we're encouraged because of who you are to live in a way worthy. God, thank you for Jesus and his example. Thank you for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Also, please be turning in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. While you're turning there, I'm going to break down the quarters for you. The first quarter is going to be devoted to walking with God. The second is devoted to walking in the light. The third quarter is going to be devoted to walking by the Spirit. And the fourth quarter will be devoted to walking in faith. Amen? Awesome. Let me ask you a question before we get started here. We're talking about walking in God's vision. How many of you made a New Year's resolution to go to the gym? Raise your hands, though. Only one person? Okay, well, amen. Give him a cookie. No. You know, I'm gonna say I made that resolution too. I said, you know, I'm gonna go to the gym and I'm gonna do my thing, you know, and you know, in the back of my mind, there's a reality thing is how many times have I said this? Right. You know, I'm getting closer to 50, and as I'm getting closer, I can't do the same things and get the same results in the same amount of time. You know, I can't just stop eating. My body is just it refuses to work. It goes on strike. You know, so there's a part of me that's like, you know, do I say this out loud or do I, you know, do I make this? And, you know, I go to the gym and you know, I was a professional athlete. So there was a point in time when I just kind of knew what I needed to do for my body and I would just go do it. And I go to the gym and I look and I see, you know, these people with trainers, and especially when the new year starts, even when they give you a you know, come in and you can join for free and all these different things. When you join, they always say, okay, well, we got a trainer that's going to meet with you beforehand. And then, you know, I was always too cool to take the trainer. You know what I'm saying? If I join the gym, they say, we got a trainer. It's like, oh, no, man, I got it. You know, I got it. But you go in there in the first of the year and there's people in there with the trainer and they're, you know, when the trainer's holding their arms and they're, and then the trainer's kind of marking some things down and they're, and you're watching that and you're going, man, look at this. You know, I can kind of do my thing and they're all slowed up working with this. Don't they understand what they look like? As I get older, I'm kind of yearning for a trainer. I'm yearning for a trainer. I need somebody to, you know, I don't have that same makeup where I can go and do things by myself. And I believe spiritually, as a church, that we so much need each other. We need each other to accomplish the things of God. We cannot do them by ourselves. You know, when we studied out being devoted last year, it was devoted together. You know, as we were devoted together, there was a certain family that was built. The church had grown. Our hearts were changing. And we're going to continue to do that and to take it deeper. I want to encourage you this morning as we look at some things. I want to call these God's vision, but these need to be our vision. These need to be the things that we're talking about, that we're doing, that we make a part of our lives, that these things become us. When we talk about vision for the church, it goes beyond, you know, these segments. And when we look at ourselves at the end of the year, we can look at the scriptures and we can look at where we're at and we can say, you know what? God has grown us. God has grown us. Are you guys at Ephesians? Yep. Ephesians 4. We're going to look at some scriptures today, so we're going to turn some pages. Amen? All right, Ephesians chapter 4, starting in verse 11. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Doing that, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow. It's speaking the truth in love. We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows. Joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. There's some things to grasp hold of there. The first point that I'd like to make, when we talk about our goals, our vision for this year, we have got to have an absolute concrete conviction that the best way to build a church is to build a healthy church. The church has got to be healthy. You know, right here we see what happens and how the church grows. We've got to be more about substance than symptoms. You know, quite often we talk about, you know, the church is growing if we see this mass number of people here. You know, the church is growing because of, you know, some piece of. But the church needs to grow in a balanced way. The church needs to grow spiritually. The church needs to grow mentally. The church needs to grow emotionally. And the church needs to grow physically. But I don't think that we can skip past the first three and go right to basing the church's growth on how many people are here. Amen. You know, in the past 3 years that we've been here, every year we baptize just a little bit more. It's kind of building a head of steam. But I want you to grasp hold of this. This is something to consider. You know, we've grown every year in our baptisms and in baptizing people. But this last year, as we baptize more, I see more drift away. And that says something to us being able to hold on to the people that are being baptized. You know, we've seen people leave the church, and that says something to our ability to not only make disciples, but to continue to teach disciples. You know, I think that in everything that we're doing, we talk about at the end of the year, what is it supposed to look like for us to grow? It's for us to be a healthy church. It's for us to have a healthy fear of God. It's healthy for us to have a sense of family that we embrace. The scriptures have got to be key. It's healthy when we're doing things together. Amen? Amen. We've got to grasp hold of that. You know, look in your Bibles at 1 Corinthians 3:13. Okay. Look a couple of passages here.
Come on, bro.
1 Corinthians 3, verse 13. I'm going to start at verse 10, if you don't mind. By the grace God has given me, I laid foundations as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. No one can lay any foundation other than the foundation, the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. You know, when I think about this passage, I automatically think about my family. You know, I think about, man, what would it mean for me to go to heaven and my family not to? But I think as a minister of the gospel, I think even more about you as a family. And I believe that as a church, we have got to think about us as a family. You know, there's something to the quality of our work being tested by trials. You know, in 1 Peter, Scripture says that trials will come. We will not be able to evade them. And those trials will test our faith. And if we persevere, our faith gets stronger. When we persevere, Christ is exalted. And I want you to consider that, because what is going to be the defining moment for a healthy church is not going to be all the good things that are going on. It's how we respond in difficult times. You know, we've had some difficult times and people have hung on. Believe me, more difficult times are coming. There'll be victories. There'll be strengthening and maturing, but that only comes through fire. So just like that individual that's going to the gym at the first of the year, you know, after the first couple, three sessions, they start getting mad at the trainer. Man, my legs are burning. I went to work and I couldn't even hardly walk. I'm going to stop coming, man. This is getting too hard. Let's not be that way spiritually. Let's not allow our thinking to shut off when it comes to dealing with pressure and understanding what it means to be a healthy church. Let's look at the right things. Let's allow ourselves to embrace the goal of being a healthy church. Amen. At the end of the year and all through the year, I want us to be talking about one of the goals, the vision for God's church. He says it in His word, is for us to be healthy. Amen. Awesome. Number two, focus on breathing new faith and new passion into the church. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You all right? First Corinthians chapter 1, I'm using this pad here. Verse 4. There's got to be a breathing of new faith and new passion into the church. We cannot be defined by our defeats. We cannot be defined by how many people. We cannot be defined by the ammo of the world that we have. We have to be defined by who God is. Amen? We're going to talk about that a whole lot more this year in Scripture, starting in verse 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 4. I always thank my God for you because of His grace given you in Christ Jesus. Amen? So for those of us that feel guilty, for those of us that feel a little bit down, be reminded of the grace that's been given you in Christ Jesus. For in Him you have been enriched in every way with all kinds of speech and with all knowledge. You're equipped. God thus confirming our testimony about you, about Christ among you. Therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. He will also keep you firm to the end, so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful. Everybody say that with me. God is faithful. Amen. Who has called you into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, we talk about breathing new faith, new passion into the church. The first thing that we've got to grasp hold of is that God is faithful. God is faithful. I want to look at a couple of passages here to talk about the Lord. Turn in your Bibles with me to Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7.
Come on, Brandel.
Come on, bro.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, starting in verse 7. Now, this is a passage especially to the Israelites, just to get their minds right. And this is a passage that I believe can get our minds right when we talk about God is faithful. The Lord, in verse 7, Deuteronomy 7, starting in verse 7. The Lord did not set His affection on you and choose you because you were more numerous than other peoples. For you were the fewest of all peoples. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever came into fellowship? I know for the singles or the youth and family ministry, sometimes you can look around and say, man, there's not a lot of people here. You know? Sometimes I hear, man, you're really small. We're a really small church. Some people, they want to go to this big, giant church. You know, I think when we start thinking along those lines, we can in some ways lose sight of who God is. God says, "You, for you are the fewest of all peoples, but it was because the Lord loved you and kept the oath He swore to your ancestors that He brought you out of a mighty hand and redeemed you from the land of slavery, from the power of Pharaoh the king. Because He loved you." I want you to think about the whole idea of you becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about the things that you've been delivered from. I want you to think about how much more your life is different from other people's lives that are without Jesus. You know, those things occurred because the Lord loves you. You know, God is faithful. God loves us. God redeems us through Jesus. In the same way the Egyptians had to release the Israelites, we have been released from sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Know therefore that the Lord is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. But to those who hate him, he will repay to their face by destruction. He will not be slow to repay to their face those who hate him. Now, I want you to grasp hold of this. You know, there is some requirement here when we talk about God's faithfulness. You know, in Habakkuk chapter 2, the Lord gives Habakkuk a message to give to the Israelites, and they're complaining about getting stomped on by the Babylonians. They're like, when is this going to end? How long do we, what's going on here? And the Lord reminds him, he says, this is, my promises are true. I've never failed. I'm going to give you a message to tell everybody. Though you may have to wait a little bit, you will see judgment. You will see justice come around. But you may have to wait a bit. But I'm going to give you a message, Habakkuk, that's going to be easy. It's going to be plain. Put it on tablets and run around and tell it. And guys, when we talk about breathing new faith into the church, new passion, we need to be breathing into. We need to be running around plain and simple saying, God is faithful. He loves us. God is the God of all gods. He's more consistent than the newest car, the newest contraption, the newest tablet, the prettiest gal, the prettiest guy. The ideal house, he is more consistent, and his things, his promises, his purposes will last for eternity.
Amen.
We've got to start talking like that, amen?
Amen?
Turn your Bibles to Psalms chapter 9.
Come on,
Psalms chapter 9. I don't know about you guys, but it's been a climactic weekend. And I'm kind of feeling it right now. So a few hearty amens. So be it. Believe it. Yes, I agree with God's word. Would be very helpful right now. Amen. Psalms 9 and verse 10. Those who know your name trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you.
Amen.
Can I get another one?
Amen.
Those who know your name and trust in you. Here it is again, guys. Faithfulness. God's faithfulness has a ton to do with us being faithful. You know, we know the Lord and we trust in him. We rely on, we cling to. Our lives depend on him. Our lives depend on his promises. Our lives depend on the lifestyle that Jesus lived and called us to imitate. For those people, they've never been forsaken. They've never been forsaken. So sometimes we run around and we look like, you know what? My situation is a lot different. It's not. We haven't resisted to the point of shedding blood. I mean, consider what was going on with the Abishan church. We're not there. Did you see the joy that they had? I'm like, good night, man. I got to repent here. These guys, ultimately, they understand who God is, and we need to do that. Amen? So there's one and two. One, we've got to have a conviction that the best way to build a church is to build a healthy church. And number two, we've got to focus on breathing new faith and new passion into the church. Amen?
Amen.
And then three, there's got to be unity.
Amen.
We've got to have a conviction about unity. Here's what Carl Jung says. He says, your vision will become clear only when you can look into your own heart. Who looks outside dreams. Who looks inside awakes. You know, that says that it starts with us. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians. Did I already say that? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10. is what Paul says to the Corinthians. Talking about unity here. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says I follow Paul. Another says I follow Apollos. Another says I follow Cephas. Another still I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Let's stop there. You know, we see in the situation that there's a division that comes because individuals want to follow certain powerful, you know, influential people in Jesus. But they're following them so close that they're separating themselves from the ultimate goal, and that's to follow Christ. You know, how does that apply to us? I think sometimes we can segment out the church and certain things are important to us because those are the things that we're passionate about, but we're not passionate about the whole picture. You know, we could be passionate about maybe studying the Bible with somebody, but then not be passionate about dealing with conflict. We can be passionate about meeting together, but not be passionate about our own purity. We can be passionate about the campus ministry. We can be passionate about the youth and family ministry, but then maybe we're not passionate about meeting together. We can be passionate about the church being together and have a failing marriage. We can be passionate about the church growing, but be oozing with pride and bitterness.
Come on, Brando.
You know, all of these things have a direct effect on the health of the church. You know, I think that we've got to get a picture of this. We can't have any Lone Ranger Christians out there. We need everybody to be on the same page. In Acts chapter 2, Scripture says that they were together and they were devoted. This year, we've got to be devoted together. We cannot allow dissension, discord to get in the way. Galatians 5:19 says the acts of the sinful nature, the acts of the flesh are obvious. In verse 20 it says discord, dissension, and factions. Those are all things that separate. And in verse 21 it says these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You know, that talks about an eternal inheritance, but I believe that it also applies to us here on earth and the kingdom here on earth. When there is discord, it is impossible to embrace the inheritance that you have, to enjoy the fellowship, to grow and to mature and to be together with people. It's impossible to do that. An example of that would be to not come around but expect to have the benefits that a disciple would have. You know, an example would be to not deal with animosity. An example would be to not speak the truth in love. An example would be to not live the life of a disciple, but then expect the church to grow. We've got to drive discord out.
Amen.
You know, Jesus says in John 17, he says, Father, my prayer is not only for the people that I've given the message, but for those people that will give the message and believe because they heard it. I want them to be one like you and I are one. I want them to feel the love that you have shared with me and that I've shared with them. I want them to be unified. We've got to get a deep conviction about unity. You know, when we are not about unity on any of those levels there or anything that I missed, it's like spitting in Jesus' face. That's got to be serious. Amen? Scripture says in Ephesians chapter 4, make every effort to keep the unity. Make every effort. In Hebrews 4:11, make every effort to live in peace. 2 Peter 1, make every effort to add to your faith. 2 Peter 1:15, see to it that none of you forget the biblical truths. You know, I said this yesterday. I want to remind you, Psalms 133:1, how good and pleasant, how refreshing it is when God's people live together in unity. You know, this year, we have got to make it our goal to adhere to Scripture, to believe the promises, to believe the examples here. Not only to believe them and yeah, I hear it, and yeah, I believe that's true, but carry our cross and live those out. Let's have a sweet fellowship, amen?
Amen.
Because we're striving for unity. Number four, aspire to leadership. Aspire to leadership. In Ephesians chapter 4, in 11 and 13 through 13, those leaders, those people are defined to help build the church. You know, when we quit, when we don't want to lead, when we want to sit back and talk about what needs to be different, but we're not willing to step up, we're missing out on what makes a church healthy. Are you with me? You know, there are people out there, I want to put in the teens' brains right now. My hope, my prayer for you, this is what I pray for you, that you guys will go to a campus ministry and you'll be able to study the Bible with people. You'll have learned how, you'll have experienced, you'll have reached out to people, amen? And that you'll have been in discipling relationships. And so not only will you be humble and get discipled, but you'll be able to disciple others. You'll go into the campus ministry and you'll be a giver. You know, for you campus and you young singles and you singles ministry people, what I pray for you on a regular basis is that all of the things that you've learned and all of the things that you've experienced, all of the hardships and difficulties that God has weathered through you, bring you to a passion about discipling one of these youths. Bring you to a passion about allowing some of these people, some of these young ones into your life. Allowing them to see what it means to be faithful. Allowing them to see what it means to deal with difficult things and how to do that in a biblical way. And there are people in our midst that were in the campus ministry here. There are people in our midst that have led the singles, have been a part of the singles, been in campus, been in leadership. My prayer is that we'll, as a family, dial in and train, lead, teach this church, support this church in being disciples. Amen?
Amen.
Along with leadership, there comes a challenge. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 2, Paul tells Timothy to entrust to reliable men who are able to teach. And I want us to go beyond, you know how we say the word love and we, oh yeah, I love you. You know, we say that, we throw that around. I think we throw the word teach around too. Because I think it's easy for us to say, okay, I can teach because I can eloquently tell you these things and I know all of this history and blah, blah, blah. But I believe that there's an even deeper meaning in this. The deeper meaning is if somebody can look at your life and be taught. And when we talk about leadership, when you talk about stepping into that, when you talk about being a part of the worship team, leading a family group, aspiring to be on the leadership team, or going into the full-time ministry, I want you to keep that in mind. That this year, we're calling all of our leaders to be reliable in the sense that their life teaches more than their mouth.
Amen.
And I'm going to lead in that. 1 Timothy 3:9. Stay with me here because these things are kind of the blueprints for the year. Amen? These are the blueprints for the year. Now, if you get told no or you get encouraged to do something, all these different things, it's going to be based on this. These things. 1 Timothy 3:9 talks about a deacon. They must keep and hold to the deep truths of the Bible. What I'm saying here is if you're aspiring to leadership, if you're leading a family group and you're not leading it in a spiritual way, you need to repent. In order for the church to be healthy, in order for the church to grow, you've got to be in your Bible. You've got to be engaging the scriptures. You've got to be calling people to live them and living them with them. You've got to walk with them. Amen?
Amen.
Have a conviction about aspiring to biblical leadership. And fifth, invest. Invest in your ministries.
Amen.
Invest in your ministries. In Galatians chapter 6, in verse 7, the Bible says a man reaps what he sows. What you sow, you reap. What you put into it is what you'll get back from it.
Yep.
You know, I appreciate, you know, if you get ready for church the day before, you could get to church on time. But if you wait till Sunday and you decide, let me decide what I'm going to wear. Let me think about, well, maybe I need to iron that. Well, I got to have breakfast. What am I going to have for breakfast? You know what? I stayed up till 1 o'clock last night. Man, I'm really tired. Let me lay down for a second. Let me hit the snooze button. And then you were to come to church and say, man, these guys started without me? You've got to invest in your ministries. You've got to commit. You've got to be consistent. I want to go this direction here. I want you to embrace this. If you're in the worship ministry, I would encourage you to invest in worship ministry stuff. That means practice the songs, amen. You don't have to come to practice the songs. Practice the songs in your car, amen. Practice the songs during the week, amen. Practice the songs, be on time when it's time to practice the songs, amen. A book that I want to encourage you to get, because we're going to talk about some of these things. We're going to do a devotional on the 26th, the 22nd after church, 22nd of January after church. I would encourage you to purchase a book called Becoming True Worshippers by Tom Crowder. Becoming True Worshippers by Tom Crowder. And what I'm saying to you is read. Read. You know, I can imagine. I think here's an example for you. Brad Sampson. Brad Sampson, he probably doesn't know that I know this about him. This dude goes into Home Depot and all these different, he's like the handy fix-it man. He can fix anything, you know what I'm saying? He makes it real sturdy so it'll never break again. He knows all the codes of everything. He can quote them line by line, you know, dash two, you know, he can give you all of that stuff. He can give you, when the weather's like this, it needs to be this way. You've got to prepare for this. You know, Brad's one of those guys that goes into Home Depot and he'll sit there and he'll ask these guys that know about this stuff all these questions and come at them from different angles. And he'll come at them and he'll, hey, this is what I know about this. Can you tell me anything different? That makes Brad a trustworthy guy when it comes to knowing about how to do something, when it comes to handy fix-it work. Yep. We've got to have that conviction spiritually. Yep. Amen? If we're in the youth and family ministry, I'd like to encourage you. There's a book called Family-Based Youth Ministry. Some of you have bought that book. It's by Doug Fields. I'd encourage you teens to get it as well. Family-Based Youth Ministry. Another book that I think will be helpful for us is The Pursuit of Holiness by Jerry Bridges. There's also a book called The Discipline of a Godly Man, and that's by Kent Hughes. And there's another one called The Discipline of a Godly Woman, and that's by his wife, Barbara Hughes. Now, this year can't be one of those years where you're saying, man, you're infringing upon my time asking me to buy a book and read. Because that's what that's saying is I don't want to invest. Imagine somebody, Lincoln, you got your daughters and your son, and they come to your house and they say, hey, I want to court your daughter and Jesus, and, you know, I don't want to go to church. I don't want to do what the Bible says. I was like, hey, hold on. This conversation is over. It's not happening. Same is true in our spiritual lives if we don't invest. It's not happening. You can hear the word of God and it's not happening. You can be in a family group and it's not happening. You can be telling somebody how they need to be living in Jesus and it's not happening. Invest in your spiritual life. Amen? Amen. Throughout the centuries, there have been men who looked for first steps, who took first steps down new roads, armed with nothing but their own vision. You know, this year, we're not talking about some new road. We're talking about a narrow road. We're not talking about our own vision. And we're not talking about our own weapons. We're talking about God, and we're talking about his vision, and we're going to walk in it. I'm going to give you a couple practicals here, okay? I want you to write these down, amen? And then we'll be done. We'll get our eat on, amen? I'm going to do this real quick. I'm going to do this real quick. The first one, Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. The first one is acknowledge God in everything that you do. Amen. Acknowledge God. Read his word. Allow that to be the thing that directs your life. What the word says, that's what I will do. If you're studying the Bible this morning, And you went through the word study. Whatever God's word says, that's what I'll do. That brings fruitfulness to your life. Number two, C, commit. Proverbs 16:3, commit to the Lord in whatever you do, and he will establish your plans. Commit to the Lord. We have got to commit. We can't be like somebody that wants to get married but doesn't want to be with their spouse for the rest of their life. We can't be like somebody that wants to be married and have the benefits of marriage, but they don't want to share their income. We can't be like somebody that wants to have a baby but doesn't want to raise their kids. We've got to commit. Some of us know what it means, but man, that means I'm going to have to stop doing this. Man, I'm going to have to stop doing that. Man, I'm going to have to sacrifice this. I'm asking you, Jesus says at the altar, step up and say, I do. Commit. The New York church, in 100 days, they had prayed, they fasted. It's on the ICOC Hot News website. The New York church, they ended the year. In 100 days, they had 103 baptisms and restorations. You know, they had that because they committed. I mean, many of us say, well, they got Sam Powell, he's the leader, they got elders, they got all these different things. But we just looked at Scripture and it said, I didn't pick you because you were so many. I picked you because I loved you. And we've got to commit to be praying for baptisms. I want us to commit to praying for one-to-one baptisms in the church. Amen? I want us to pray for the health of the church. I want us to pray for the unity of the church. I want you to commit to praying for those things every day. If we all commit to praying for those things every day, we'll be up here sharing good news forever. Let's commit right now to praying for people to come to Christ, for praying for people to be restored. Amen? T, 1 Corinthians 12:12. Just as a body, though one has many parts, all of the parts form one body, so it is with Christ. T, be a team player, amen? Be a team player. There's always a part to play. You know, be a team player and having the conviction about a healthy church and trying to be healthy, amen? Have conviction about leadership, lead in a spiritual way. If somebody's trying to lead in a spiritual way, don't make it hard for them, amen? Be a teammate. Be a part of the body. We know what it looks like when part of your body stops functioning. Be a team player. I, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. You know, I'm encouraged by guys like Bruce Matthews. And I was in a study with David Bryan. And I remember we had read this passage and something got said. And David just said, you know what? He just said over everything that was being said, you know what? I just can't buy into that because this is what it says in God's word. And this is how he says a person becomes a Christian. This is how it says it in the word here. So I'm not going to say anything other than that because I'm going to say what the word says. And I thought to myself, wow. I got to be around people like that. I got to be around people that have conviction about following God's word to the full. Iron sharpens iron. You know, in your relationships, be a sharpener and allow people that sharpen you in Jesus to be around you. Don't run from them.
Right. Come on.
Oh. 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. You know, we're Christ ambassadors. We've got to be outward focused. We've got to be outward focused. You know what I'm saying? We can't be the individual that you come into the fellowship and you just want to talk about I. We've got to be others focused. There's something that we're called to do with all this goodness that we've been given by God. Share our faith. Strengthen the disciples. Grow our families. Amen. Be an influencer on the job. You know, there's a story on the Hot News site that says that 56 disciples in Bangladesh brought 300 people to church. 56 people brought 300 people to church. You know, I want us to commit to having some kind of man. Can I bring somebody? What if we all brought a person? What if we prayed about that? What if we fasted about that? I mean, that's what it takes. Guys, this year, let's be others focused. And lastly, turn in your Bibles We're done here. Turn in your Bibles to Philippians 3. Philippians 3. You with me?
Yeah.
Amen. Philippians 3, starting in verse 17. And this one is never give up. Scripture says, Philippians 3:17, join together in following my example, brothers and sisters. Just as you have us as a model, keep your eyes on those who live as we do. For as I have often told you and before and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Right. Never give up. You know, this scripture says that we model. The scriptures have modeled. There's people that have modeled. But we're to keep our eyes on those who live as those people in the Bible. And there'll be difficult times during this. There'll be times when we have to persevere. There'll be times when we have to stand alone. I'm encouraged by Ken and Lana. I'm encouraged by Ken and Lana. If you were at the class yesterday, they've experienced difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. Broken bones, being incapacitated, vacations, things that would bring times of refreshment being taken away from them, family members passing away. I mean, in succession, and I hear Ken say, you know, why is this stuff happening? You know, there's not really a reason, all these different things. What's going on here? Can anything else happen? Trials in within the family with the in-laws and them having a loss of family members and these different types of things. But I with all of that stuff going on, they're always here. With all of that stuff going on, coming in weary, Ken came to men's midweek and he just said, brother, I'm just here. And I mean, you know, it was one of those ones where you didn't even question. You knew it. He's just, I'm just here. You know, we had this prayer and worship time, and Ken led some songs, and we had got to get together with him and talk earlier in the day, and I knew that he was drained. And he still came up here and led songs. You know, Lana has dealt with, the family's dealt with some difficulty in the passing of her mom, and she was here and she did a class this weekend. And I mean, that's not the half. I mean, the years before that, dealing with the persecution and dealing with all the negativity and all these different things, they stayed here. They've been a rock for the church. You know, I want my kids to grow up and be like them. So many of us are trying to shield our kids and shield ourselves from dealing with difficulty. You know what God's doing with Ken and Lana's life? He's showing us what perseverance looks like. He's showing us what faithfulness looks like. He's showing us what it looks like to get back up. Allow that to be a model for you. Stop talking about all the negativity and let's watch what God's doing, amen, and let's imitate. Amen. You know, if you put all those letters together, what do they spell? Action. They spell action. You know, this year is not only a year of learning, but it's a year of putting into practice. It's a year of action. Amen. I encourage you, as we shoot into this new year, allow these goals, allow these practicals to be your trainer. So at the end of the year, we'll look back and have a clear picture of who God is and his work in his kingdom. To God be the glory.
Amen.